We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
It's Monday, September 27th. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Gabe Goodwin. This is Jeff Schwartz of Smart on You, powered by the Varsity Podcast Network. This is our college football show. We're going to rank our top six. We're going to talk about the wild and wacky college football that feels a lot like 2007, where there's one or two good teams, elite teams, I should say, and then the rest are just, I don't know, we'll find out as it goes on. But first, Gabe, I think I saw this right. You competed in a marathon, triathlon thing today, and then you're doing a podcast at night. What's tougher for you?
Well, Jeff, I did compete in a triathlon this weekend in Malibu and did pretty well in the old age group. I'm in the older age group than you, Jeff. I'm in the 35 to 39-year-old range.
I'm 35.
So you would have been in my range. I don't know if I would have beat you or not. I came in 24th out of 140-something people. That was pretty good. And so it's been a long day. I've been up since 4 a.m. And now I get here and the good people who help us make this show said, we need you to wear headphones. But I don't have any that plug into my laptop. So for the video viewers, which there are not that many, I am wearing my children's like panda bear headphone thing that we wear on airplanes because they're going to go on a plane. So I'm having a long day, Jeff.
Yeah. As someone who has young children same age as yours, I fully understand what you're going through because I've done the same thing before. I appreciate it. I appreciate the dedication to this podcast, obviously. And yeah, man, college football is an odd year. We have not seen a year like this since, like I said, 2007. It's a year that we have a couple of elite teams, I would say, and we'll get to that in just a second. And then we have good teams. And each week, I think we're going to have different good teams in this top six. We're going to have different teams moving in and out depending on how they play during the week. There's a lot of powerhouses like Clemson, like Ohio State, like Oklahoma that have not looked as good, that have lost more games than we've seen in the past. There are teams that have bounced back and forth, whether it's Texas, they'll not be in my top six, but you know they lost to Arkansas and then bounced back last weekend. It's all over the place. There's some big games upcoming with Alabama and Ole Miss and Notre Dame and Cincinnati and whatnot in the next couple of weeks that might determine where these rankings go. But let's start with number one, Gabe. I'm still going Alabama until further.
Oh, okay.
And Georgia's two. I mean, these are very simple, right? Georgia smoked Vanderbilt this weekend. And a buddy of mine said they beat them 62-0 because last year the game was called off because of COVID. And they think that Vanderbilt wussed out of the game, essentially. They backed out of the game when they didn't have to. They're going to send them a message this year, Gabe. Send them a message.
Isn't Vanderbilt referred to as the Harvard of the South or something? And
yeah, because smart people go there, but they're not good at football.
Right. Well, clearly not up to Georgia's level this weekend. I think Bama and Georgia are two time savers for us. They're going to be 1-2. Yeah. Pretty much there's really nothing that could happen, right, that makes them anything other than 1-2?
Well, they would play each other at some point and lose. I mean, that doesn't happen until the SEC championship game, right? And that's a situation where maybe both teams get in to the playoff because of that, right? I mean, if they're 1-2 and the game ends, you know, 38-28, you know, or 38-31 or 38-34, something like that, they're both in the playoff. It's that simple.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to ask. Like, even if Bama had lost that game to Florida a couple weeks ago and it was a close game and they lose to a conference, you know, a good team in their conference, what do you slide them to? 2-3? I mean, they're not falling out of it.
Yeah, I'm with you. No, they're not. And that's why I think they're both in the playoff as it goes forward. But look, like I said, Alabama has Ole Miss this week. We'll talk more about that game, I would imagine, on Thursday's gambling show, because that'll be a very fun game to talk about and break down. So really, after 2, Gabe, it feels like dealer's choice, right? Kind of like what mood you're in that day, what mood you're in that night. I've had Oregon at 3. I don't think they're the third best team in the country, though. Most power rankings have them 10 to 12. They played Arizona this weekend. Arizona has not won a football game in almost 2 years. They were 0-5 last season. And the game was and Arizona had just lost to Northern Arizona, 21-19. And this game was 24-19 Oregon in the fourth quarter. Now they won going away, 41-19. But man, Mario Cristobal has been the head coach since the 2018 season. And they have won every home game but one. And the one they lost was the C.J. Verdell fumble against Stanford. If you recall, they fumbled in the game on 3rd-and-2. Everyone was upset that he ran the ball, whatever. But they've only covered 5 home games. They play down to opponents continuously. And it bothers me to no end. But if you line them up against Penn State or Iowa or A&M or I'm assuming not A&M, Notre Dame, Arkansas, Cincinnati, Florida, any of these teams, Gabe, they would be competitive. Like they just play up and down for opponents. Would they beat Alabama, Georgia? I don't know, but they'd be ready to play those games. So Oregon, I'll keep them at 3-4 now. And then I think, again, we're 4, 5, and 6. Kind of just depends on the week. I think Florida, who smashed Tennessee this weekend, is a top 5 team. I know they lost to Alabama, and we hold losses, obviously, against teams, as we should. But to me, they're the 4th best team in the country right now. They're really good. And I know that this is going to be maybe a very SEC heavy game, but they have the best loss of the year. Right? Like they're the best loss of the year. They're number 10 though in the coaches polls and in the AP top 25. Penn State's 4 in most of these. I'll go with Penn State 5 for mine. They continue to win football games. Their offense is looking a little bit better each and every week, which is very important for them. Remember, they beat Wisconsin in week 1. We'll talk about Wisconsin, Notre Dame, in a second. They beat Auburn at home, 22nd ranked Auburn. Now they smashed Villanova. They get Indiana and Iowa coming up soon. So put them at 5 and 6. You know what? I'll throw Arkansas a bone here. I feel like Arkansas with an offensive line coach as a head coach, Sam Pittman, absolutely love it. They just play. They play a fun brand of football, man. They're going to win in the trenches. They got some athletes as well. Look, again, after the Alabama and Georgia, I don't know who's the 3rd or 4th or 5th or 6th best team. I'm just going to show some love to some teams as we move forward here. But I'll put Arkansas on this spot just because I think they deserve a little bit of praise. But I know the first topic we're getting into today, that team can make a case for being a top 3 and 4 team as well.
Yeah, well, normally I try to punch some holes in these top 6s of yours. And I would, the last couple of weeks, say, Jeff, what the hell? What about Oklahoma? But I got to tell you, after barely eking by West Virginia, I don't want to try to make that case. I don't know what happened to Spencer Rattler and the Heisman hopeful, and I don't know what's going on there. Cincinnati's hanging around like we've been saying for a couple weeks. We'll wait till we see what they do against Notre Dame. So Notre Dame, that's who you're teasing. So things I think I learned, Jeff, are coming up after this quick break. Notre Dame's right at the top of my list, and you got to make me a little smarter on Notre Dame. So we'll be right back. We'll hit that next.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, Jeff, we're back. Things I think I learned this weekend. Notre Dame's pretty damn good. And they put up 31 in the fourth quarter to steamroll Wisconsin. Wisconsin, by the way, I also learned probably not good. But Brian Kelly, statement win for him, becomes the all-time, this is a crazy stat, all-time winningest coach in Notre Dame history? That's wild that he's been there long enough to do
he's
that.
He's also the all-time losingest coach in Notre Dame history, too.
Ah, there it is.
He's
okay.
Both, yeah.
All right, fair enough. Yeah. So he's been around longer than I really ever would have realized.
Well, they also play like four more games a year than they did back in the day.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah. And Notre Dame's been here for like 190 years or something. But they look good. And I think they started in the preseason rankings maybe a little further from the top 10 or further from the top 5 really than most people would have guessed. And now all of a sudden they look pretty good. And I hate to say it, like maybe because we didn't really pay attention to Notre Dame, the one team that's overrated every year of my whole life, they're actually underrated this year. That's what I think I learned.
So they beat Wisconsin, and they had two pick sixes in the fourth quarter. They were much better, especially on defense, than I thought they would be in that game. Offensive line still an issue. The offensive line did not hold up pretty well against Wisconsin. The third-string left tackle, I mean, it's going to happen, right? Jack Cohen wasn't that dynamic in this game. I mean, they got by with a lot of what they did on defense. Wisconsin was 1 of 15 on third down, Gabe. 1 Ugh. Of 15 on third down. I mean, the Irish won this game with only 248 yards on offense. They averaged 0.3 yards per rush, which, remember, they entered the game 122nd in yards per rush, and they went down after this performance, which is wild. The thing about Notre Dame, and this is the way I used to feel about, like, Alabama. I didn't respect them because they always got the hype, right? And it's hard sometimes when you're a Pac-12 fan or a fan of a team that doesn't get the hype. You see Alabama getting the hype or Notre Dame, you're like, screw them, right? But, dude, they win a lot of football games, and they win all games you don't expect. They were 7-point dogs in this game. And I think Brian Kelly is very underrated, and they get shit on because they lose to Alabama in the playoff game. Well, guess what? Who was beating Alabama last year in a playoff game? No one was. No one was, right? No one was doing that. They were able to really give it to Wisconsin. Part of that, too, look, Jack Cohen came out. He was hurt. In came Drew Payne. He was 6 of 8 for 81 yards. He looked really good. So maybe there's a quarterback controversy on hand here. But the Irish have a pretty tough sledding, though. They get Cincinnati off a bye. Bearcats were idle this weekend. And later in the year, they get USC, who's struggling as well, but USC off a bye, too. Some of their tougher opponents are off byes this year, but so far, look, FSU was close to Toledo, close to Purdue, but smash Wisconsin. I think they're legitimately having a chance, obviously, to make a playoff this year as usual. And I think Brian Kelly is a little underrated. I think he does a very good job there, and he doesn't get the credit for it because they don't win playoff games, which again, Oklahoma's 0-4 in the playoff. We don't hold that against them.
No, we certainly don't, and both are still pretty good at creating NFL players, so that's something we all judge them for. I guess I'm curious about this, though. You'd think the spread would open, and Cincinnati, lowly Cincinnati, would be the dog, but they're the 2.5-point favorite from the first
thing
I saw. Yeah, that's what I just saw. That number could shift, but 2.5-point favorite against Notre Dame. So
I mean, quarterback's better, and that's obviously a big part of this as well, right? Is when your quarterback is better, you get a little bit of a boost because of that, and you have a good defense. I think Notre Dame's defense is maybe not as good as the Bearcats. Yeah, Cincinnati's favored by 3, 2.5. That's wild. Open at 1.5.
At Notre Dame, too. I'm kind of stunned by that, and it tells me, it sort of supports my point, which is that maybe Notre Dame should wish to always be underrated. It's when we, you know, like playing as Rocky is a little better than Apollo Creed for them. Yeah.
That's really surprising. That's one of those numbers, by the way, and you followed this long enough, Gabe, where you're so surprised by it, you kind of have to go with the Bearcats, right? Because you're like, what does Vegas know that we don't know?
Yeah.
Like, what? Because, again, that's 3 points in college. If this game was, you know, in Cincinnati, it'd be what, 10-point favorite?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know enough about betting these sort of out-of-conference games in college. This is really your specialty, and you get into it with Matt on Thursdays. But I had to double-check it, and I'm glad you double-checked it because it looked like it had been flipped to me. I wouldn't have guessed that there was any way in the world that the road team, in what seems like a fairly evenly matched game, could be the favorite.
Yeah, same here. So, again, Irish are underrated. I was in Chicago for that game, and it was an at-the-physical game. We did a big live tailgate show there, and like it was a tough watch, man. Like it was Wisconsin's offense, and I get that boring is what you are, but you were off a bye, and it was even like more boring than I thought it would be. Wisconsin was a shit show, man, on offense.
Yeah, I mean they're in meltdown mode, right? Isn't that two bad losses at home now? I mean
this is in Chicago technically, but yeah, they lost to Penn State at home in this game in Chicago. Yeah,
you're right. All right. Well, so actually, what you tell me, was the stadium more full of Notre Dame fans? I feel like you can't walk around Chicago without bumping into them.
It looked more red than it did look green, at least from outside when I saw that one look at the fans.
Okay. Well, so fine. Yeah. So not a home loss. I was dinging them for two home losses, but that's not the case. All right. Well, let's stay in that conference though with Penn State. So their offense finally comes alive, right? That was the knock you and many others pointed out the first couple of weeks. We were saying, yeah, they're good. Their defense is great, but can they score? Well, Sean Clifford had a nice game, 4 touchdowns through a pick. They hang on. They beat Villanova. Okay, it's Villanova. You know, this isn't March Madness. It's Villanova football. But they're 4-0. If they can keep on scoring, I really don't know that anyone in the Big Ten can really, truly give them the game. Obviously, Ohio State's not dead. You like Iowa. Michigan's better than we might have guessed.
Yeah.
But Penn State looks like the class of the conference.
The problem with a lot of conferences right now is the quarterback play is not really good. And you look around the Big Ten and you say, who's the best quarterback in the Big Ten? You would go C.J. Stroud most likely for Ohio State, but he's had his ups and downs, right? So I think he is the highest ceiling. He's the best as far as what someone could be is what C.J. Stroud is. He's almost got 1,000 passing yards already, and he didn't play very much against Akron the other day as well. Then they didn't even play him. They kind of like let him rest for a weekend. They want to see the other guys get some reps. He's back, you know, for the rest of the year. And you look at Michigan offensively, they can run the football. That's about it. They play great defense though. Michigan State, Iowa, there's just Wisconsin, Minnesota, man. The quarterback play game is just not there. And if the Nittany Lions can play that defense that you expect them to play against Ohio State, they have a chance to win the conference, 100%. But they have Iowa in 2 weeks. Iowa does not allow a lot of points. I think Iowa's only allowed in 4 games. Iowa has allowed 44 points total. They have multiple pick sixes. They have multiple scores on defense. So Penn State's going to need something special from Clifford to win that game. And we'll get a great answer of whether or not he is that special in that moment. I'm not sold on it quite yet. The game is at Iowa, I believe, as well. But they have a chance with their defense special teams to be in every single game. And we're seeing that, you know, Clifford pick up a little bit, right? They 16-10 against Wisconsin. They beat Ball State 44-13. Beat Auburn 28-20. In that game, Clifford was 28-32. For 280 yards, and we're starting to see the little bit of confidence pick up, right? And it's going to have to happen against Iowa. So I think Penn State's in a great spot right now. If you're a Penn State backer, a Penn State fan, the way Ohio State's looking right now, they feel very vulnerable for another loss. And the way the playoff is setting up, you know, you might have a chance to get in there if you go 12-1, but you have an Ohio State win, you have a chance to play for the playoff.
Yeah, and some of these teams might still be faking it, like Michigan. I getting the feeling you're not totally sold on Michigan yet.
Well, I'm not. I'm just offensively, man. They're a run first team, and don't have the ability to really pass the ball down the field. And we saw against a Rutgers team that Rutgers was 3-0, but I mean they weren't. They beat Syracuse and Temple and Delaware, right? And they had one of the least explosive offense in the country. Michigan defense was great. But Cade McNamara was only 9 of 16, Michigan's quarterback. Like, they don't have a dynamic quarterback and playmaker. They lost Ronnie Bell, their best wide receiver. I just don't think offensively they can get done. And I want to be very clear. When I say this, right, it's – and people, I think, might not understand this or not really get this. When I talk about, you know, whether a unit can get it done, I'm not really talking about the average game. Like, for example, I'm not talking about Michigan's offense against – the Rutgers defense, right? I'm not worried about that. My question is, are they good enough to beat a Penn State? Are they good enough to beat an Ohio State? I'm not worried if they're good enough to beat crummy teams, but so when I say I worry about them, it's not every game. It's when things aren't going well, can you get it done in those big moments against two or three teams? It's interesting. This past weekend when I did the live tailgate, I was with Deshaun Kizer, former Irish quarterback. And he mentioned, like, that you need four big, like, no, the Irish were going to win from four big plays that game. One of them was, like, the fade that ended up happening. One was a strip sack and a couple, obviously, turnovers. But, like, that's it, right? It's those couple of plays. And I don't know if the offenses outside of Ohio State in this conference have that extra 5% gear in them.
Is that something you can, like, coach your way to? Can you scheme something up and come up with a trick play?
So we saw a pretty good idea of this with Oregon and Anthony Brown against Ohio State. Because Anthony Brown, you know, to me, and I've said this for a while, I just don't think he's as dynamic as people want him to be. And he really isn't. He's completing 57% of his passes. And, you know, he's 10 of 21 against Arizona this past weekend. Again, Arizona is atrocious, right? They're not good at all. And so, yes, you can definitely scheme things up to make it easier on your quarterback, but it's the extra points, a third down, red zone, you know, these big moments when you want to have a guy that you trust has an entire command of the offense and is not rattled by the moment. And that's tough, I think, right now to look at the Big Ten and think I think Clifford's one of those guys that sort of is heading in the right direction, his game, as far as I trust him in those moments. You know, CJ Stroud, I trust probably a little bit, but I don't really trust him also in the Big Ten.
All right, well then let's move out of the Big Ten, where you have trust issues, to the SEC, which this is the most I've ever heard you love on them ever. In your, you know, the earlier segment, four of your top six, granted, your top six is a little weird, but four of your top six are SEC teams. Three at least are deserving, but the one that snuck in is the one I'm most interested in talking about now, because I bet we won't ever talk about them again, Arkansas. So that was a big win, I think, over Texas A&M. You love their coach. Kind of a weird situation now at quarterback. But I watched that game, man. They look pretty tough to me.
Yeah.
Should we give them the love while they're still relevant? Because I feel like they're going to get their ass kicked pretty soon.
Well, they're at Georgia this weekend, then at Ole Miss, then Auburn, then end of the year at LSU, at Alabama. They always have a terrible schedule because they're in that division. I think you, for a team that has not had a long success of winning the last 15, 20 years, and what Sam Pittman has done as far as winning the game in the trenches, right? Being more physical than your opponent, playing fast, and the defense there, I believe Barry Odom is the defense coordinator. He does a great job with that defense. It's hard to diagnose what they're doing. They make their looks different than you know, each play, so you kind of don't get an idea of what's happening. And so I just, it is Barry Odom who's in DC. I'm very impressed by the way they play. Again, we'll know a lot more about them at Georgia, at Mississippi, Auburn, at LSU, at Alabama. Like, it's fun to talk about them now because they deserve it. They beat A&M. Is A&M needs to be talked about, by the way, is one of those programs, Gabe, that thinks they're like better than they are. I saw this the other day. They've had like 2-10 win years in the last 30 seasons. Like, why do we talk about them? Like, you know, they're funded very well, which they are, but geez, they do not win enough.
No, they definitely don't win enough. And I, you know, the switch to the SEC doesn't seem like it helped them with regular season wins at all. This was a weird one to dump for them. The quarterback situation at Arkansas, if we want to take them seriously, can we after what we saw from the backup? Obviously, KJ Jefferson looked pretty good. Then he had to leave the game for a while. I don't know what, you know, how much we're going to expect from him next week.
Those guys only attempted 4 passes. So it's, if your starter's not playing, it's, and this is the thing about teams like Arkansas, and really, I mean, there's a lot of teams that are also in this boat, is you just don't have the depth, right? You have one guy you trust and one guy you know you can play, and if he's hurt, you're done for the season. I mean, we have all these teams across the country are in the same same boat. And so, yeah, if he can't play, it's a problem. You're going to rely more on your run game, obviously, more on your defense, but that's not enough against that schedule. That's not enough against Georgia, Ole Miss, Auburn, to just be bad at quarterback. So, yeah, it's a big concern, Gabe.
Okay. We can't go this far into a show without mentioning my Trojans. That was awful this weekend. So I want to know just about the updated coaching search. For 1 week there, everyone was really hot, you know, on the new guy. And he was, oh, maybe he's our guy. And it seems like the shine has already come off of that. I don't want to be unfair. Maybe he is the guy. But what's your latest read on the USC coaching situation?
Well, I picked Oregon State to cover, and I sprinkled a little money on the money line there for them to win that game. That game, Gabe, if you're a USC fan, you have a long way to go in the trenches. Like, that's my number one takeaway. It's like you got bullied by Oregon State. Got bullied by Oregon State in the Coliseum. They hadn't won in there since 1960.
Yeah.
And they shoved up your butts the entire game. And so it just tells you, I think USC just, it's not like they don't have talent, man. They have a first-round defensive end. They have a 5-star Corey Foreman defensive end.
Yeah.
Like they're not developing these guys. So there's a lot of work to be done at USC. I feel like people don't really understand the issues that are going to happen to get USC right. They're going to have to obviously recruit much better, develop players much better, like everything. And it's a big overhaul, in my opinion, at USC. And I don't really know if they realize that quite yet.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they do either. I would say, though, besides it just being the trenches, you know, they also just couldn't tackle. I mean, it looked like not only were they getting shoved at the line, but I'm going to screw the kid's name up. Number 4, Baylor was his name, I think.
Yeah, Baylor, yeah.
The running back. Yeah, guy, nobody could wrap him up every time he had yards after
it's
contact.
It's just there. And, you know, part of it too, Gabe, is when you start smelling the blood in the water, like when you're an offensive lineman and you start like feeling that, like it's a lot of fun to play. And you're just like, you coach, run the football. And when you can't stop as a defense, it's pretty demoralizing, because then what happens is obviously play action pass becomes a huge part, and Oregon State's really good at that. And so they just kept going to it. I mean, I think USC allowed near, is it 300 yards rushing? More than 300? They went 300 yards, I think, more maybe?
It felt like 3,000. It was endless.
And, you know, again, that game ended up being, the score was much closer than it really was.
Yeah, it was never
close. Oregon State had 322 yards rushing on 51.
It was never
carries.
Close. Yeah. And I think probably half of LA gave up early in the second half to go watch the local kid Brian Ortega put on one hell of a fight in the UFC. I'm betting you missed that.
Not a fight guy.
That looked like a dude USC could use. We always try to end on a couple losers. The only team that was a bigger loser than USC this week that I saw was Clemson. That was absolutely brutal, and I know you were trying to hold on to the idea that maybe they still have it. They don't. Without a great quarterback, they are just crap.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no other way to say it.
Look, Trevor Lawrence hit a lot of deficiencies on that program. Lack of offensive line development, lack of creativity in offense. It's all coming back to bite them in the butt now. And the question becomes, how do you adapt, right? Because a lot of coaches can have one thing they do really well. But what about, obviously, thing two, three, four, five you do well? Dabo's going to have to kind of reinvent himself, I think, this offseason to something else and do some new things, some new concepts. So obviously it's not working anymore without Trevor Lawrence there. But yeah.
Could he reinvent himself as the new Jacksonville Jaguars coach?
I know people have joked about that. I think another big loser this weekend was Iowa State lost to Baylor at home. And remember, Iowa State was picked to, you know, challenge Oklahoma for the Big 12 championship. That they feel like a loser of the weekend. I'm going through my notes here. Obviously,
so people love that coach, right, Campbell?
Yeah, he's up for like the USC job.
I heard him linked to USC. That seemed ludicrous to me. Maybe Wisconsin. I don't want to fire the guy in Wisconsin, but you know,
only Chris is going anywhere. But you know, Graham Mertz, quarterback for Wisconsin, he had a pretty rough week. There weren't a lot of like weird upsets this weekend, as we've seen the past couple of weeks. There were close games, of course, but nothing too out of the ordinary that we hadn't seen. Wake Forest 4-0, by the way. They won 37-17 against Virginia. So, that's the biggest loser of the week.
Yeah, I mean, they came into the year, like every year, looking like an obvious Final Four team, and now they have basically no path. I mean, there's no way.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah. All right. Well, this next week in college football is a huge one. Yes. There's quite a few good matchups, and so we'll be getting at that. You and I will be linked up talking NFL primarily. We'll sneak some college in when we talk on Tuesday, and then you and Matt are betting on games on Thursday with a bunch of college mixed in. So this whole thing with the varsity is going very nicely for us. We got a lot of new listeners and reaching a lot of people talking about college ball.
I love it, man. I cover it all. I had a good week in the Pac-12 conference, 3-0 in my Pac-12 wagers. So we're starting to heat things up a little bit here. And tomorrow I'm looking forward to our podcast because you hate kickers. And we had a record-setting field goal in the NFL. And so I'm listening to you have to defend your take on kickers. And we'll do all about the NFL tomorrow.
It's not just my take. It's a lot of people's take. Kickers have no business being part of football.
Well, we'll find out, obviously. This has been the Jeff Schwartz, the Smart on You podcast, powered by the Varsity Podcast Network. Please rate, review, subscribe if you enjoyed this. If you're here this long, guys, you also enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a 5-star review. Very helpful moving forward. And we'll catch you guys tomorrow. Take care, everybody.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.